You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 18th. And we will wonder this hour if John McCain's presidential campaign is on its deathbed. That's what most of the pundits are saying, but McCain is not giving up. In an email to supporters after several campaign staffers quit recently, McCain said, "It's no secret we have faced many challenges in this campaign. I'm honored that you're standing with me, and I'm determined to continue to face our challenges head on and win." We will talk about the challenges facing the McCain campaign and wonder why this one-time frontrunner is now struggling to stay in the top tier of candidates. Is it his stance on Iraq? Or immigration? Or maybe his age? Are you a supporter of John McCain or a one-time supporter? We'd like to hear from you this hour. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. And we'd like to hear from all of you with questions for our guest. He is Chip Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays University in Kansas, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, John McCain says he's not giving up. Should he?
Well, if he's not giving up, he's kind of whistling past the graveyard. We have seen a few campaigns in previous previous cycles where the candidate has been able to recover from being in a big, big deficit like this. But John McCain has managed to combine more problems for his campaign than any of those previous ones that ended up resurrecting themselves. So it really does not look good for Senator McCain anymore.
Yeah. What have been the problems with McCain's campaign?
Where do we start? First of all, and I think the core of it, this will probably be what the historians and those of us who do political science will probably point to as the main reason that McCain did not become the Republican nominee for 2008 was the fact that you can't be everything to everyone. From the very beginning, McCain painted himself as a maverick, and that was part of what killed him in 2000, was in not towing the party line on a lot of different issues, but that appealed to people. Those who were not in the Republican mainstream really liked the guy. And so he had developed sort of a brand identity around being a maverick, the Straight Talk Express, and all of the other stuff that came along with that really identified who John McCain was. Now, he's been trying to paint himself as the mainstream candidate while still holding on to the Straight Talk Express moniker and so on. Well, you can't be the mainline guy and be the maverick at the same time. So there's been a lot of suspicion in Republican circles that McCain is sort of a disingenuous kind of guy, and that just reinforced it. So I think that's the main thing that you're looking at, is that the history that he had as a maverick now suddenly seems gone back on, and he certainly doesn't look like a mainstream candidate even when he is trying to portray himself that way. You just can't have a foot in both of those camps. You have to pick one. And that led to a lot of confusion, a lot of concern among Republican primary voters for 08 is, who exactly is this guy?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think this guy is someone who's supporting President Bush in a very unpopular war.
Exactly. You can imagine that someone like McCain, who after 2000 got beaten by Bush, and you could think, okay, I just need to, sort of like a football team, I need to take his playbook and I just need to go through it play by play. And on the war in Iraq, and let's not forget immigration, because I think that just as much as the Iraq war has hurt McCain. He came out on the wrong side of those things, but he came out towing the Bush party line. That was the way that he thought he would appeal to the party's mainstream. And that would have been fine in 2000 when, you know, Bush had great approval and so on. But when your approval's 29% and you're parroting that person's policy positions, it's not going to win you anyone. We're suffering. I think Republicans would say that they are suffering from Bush fatigue now. They're actually looking for someone a bit different than President Bush to be their next nominee, and not someone who is just calling the same shots that Bush has been.
Yeah. But then again, it is such an unpopular war. Mm-hmm. Why would McCain be on that side if he didn't genuinely and sincerely believe it was the right side to be on?
I don't want to discount the sincerity of his position on that, but I think that you have to look to John Kerry in 2004 as the living example of why a lot of candidates are very, very loath to even make a subtle, nuanced change in their positions, because the last thing that you want to do is get called a flip-flopper, as Kerry mm-hmm. did constantly in 2004. So even if McCain had followed in the footsteps of a lot of these Republican senators that are now bailing out on the Iraq war, he doesn't want to get that criticism of being a flip-flopper, and so he has just decided to stay the course.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, his support of the comprehensive immigration reform didn't win him any fans with the conservative base.
That's exactly right. I don't think I could say it any better than that. He rolled the dice on that position. You know, the Republican Party is profoundly split, as are the Democrats, quite honestly, on immigration. No real clear, consistent party line has emerged that fits with the ideology and the behavior of the rank and file members of those parties. So that's just a case where McCain rolled the dice. He followed his own position, but most people fairly quickly decided, this is not the position that we want to support. So that's two strikes against him.
Yeah. What about his age? Some people thought that that he just doesn't look well on the campaign trail.
There's a part of me, and this is, I don't come at this perspective from a political science standpoint. I don't have a lot of data on this one. But if you just look at a picture or video of McCain, and then you look at the putative front runner, who I believe is Fred Thompson, McCain looks a heck of a lot better than Thompson does, just in terms of physical appearance. So age might be one of those things that is in the back of people's minds. They're acting on, they're not talking about it, but it just doesn't seem to track to me. There are too many other things that McCain has done in his campaign that that seem to have turned people off, and age not necessarily one of them. You know, one of the reasons that Thompson has a lot of appeal is that it allows for some very facile comparisons to Ronald Reagan. Well, McCain, I think, would only be 4 years older than Reagan was when first elected, if he were to make it. So really, I don't find age to be a compelling reason. Maybe it's one of those minor reasons that would push someone over the top away from McCain. But I don't think it's a real driving force.
Yeah. There are some polls out, a Gallup poll and some others that are just out. It does show that McCain is not the front runner as he once was, but that he's in third place. But it didn't show a big decline since all this bad news of recent days. What does that say to you?
Well, it says that the campaign is pretty much flatlined. You've got his core supporters there. And one of the real problems with polls at this point is that a lot of polls, and I haven't seen the specific poll you're talking about to know, but a lot of polls at this point include party faithful, and they also include independents or unaligned voters, and they are very, very unlikely, those unaligned, those independent voters, to go ahead and vote in a primary election. They may come in the general, but not in the primary. So then they don't really represent the preferences of people who are going to be deciding the eventual nominees. So at this point, any poll, especially a Republican poll, take it with a grain of salt, because once you see Fred Thompson enter this race, all of the numbers, and I mean both the poll numbers and the money numbers, are going to shake out.
We're talking with Chap Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays State University in Kansas, talking about John McCain's presidential campaign and whether it's on its way out. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Are you running, or are you going to announce that you're running?
The last time we were on this program, I'm sure you remember everything very clearly.
Yes.
That we say, but you asked me if I would come back on the show,
right,
if I was going to announce.
Yes.
I am announcing that I will be a candidate for President of the United States.
Oh, wow.
That was John McCain announcing his intention to run for the presidency on David Letterman's show. That was back in February 28th of this year. He was considered the front runner then and for a little while, but his campaign, some suggest, is in free fall right now. We are talking about whatever happened to John McCain. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. His fundraising has flatlined. He has had several staffers, his top communication aides and several staffers in Iowa and South Carolina recently quit. And everybody is wondering whether or not this is the end for John McCain's campaign. We're talking with a guest political analyst about this and welcoming your thoughts and questions, Chap Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays University, State University, talking about why the McCain campaign didn't take off and whether it will survive. McCain, for his part, says he's sticking to it. Our first caller is Lance in Antioch. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I heard you. I keep on hearing commentaries about McCain was doing because of his position on the war, but that's just totally illogical. It has nothing to do with his position on the war, because most of the Republicans who are running for president are pro-Iraq war. They're not running away from the war. Some of the Rhino senators are running away from it, but Romney's not running away from it. Clearly, Giuliani isn't.
No, it's true. All the other Republican candidates are supporting the war, Professor Rackaway.
That's right. Now, let's also remember that there's a little bit more nuance and a little bit more freedom in these other candidates than McCain. McCain has been a pretty strong advocate, and if you listen to the rhetoric, he is the strongest in favor of all this. Even if you listen to Giuliani, he tends to nuance a little bit on his support for the surge. He's not nearly as enthusiastic as McCain has been. So it's not that he is supporting the war or not supporting the war. It is the intensity of his support for the war. Most Americans now, if you read the polls, want some sort of timeline or some sort of drawdown, and McCain has taken the Bush line, no, absolutely not, and that's what people are reacting against, is that he does seem to be falling into that same Bush mindset. The stridency is, I think, really what's driving a lot of that negativity towards McCain.
But we're not talking about most people. We're talking about in the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
You made the point in your last commentary. And in the Republican primary, John McCain has no base. I mean, I'm a conservative, and there's no way I was going to vote for John McCain.
Absolutely.
I consider, as a conservative, he's been nothing but a traitor to people like me. I mean, he was part of the Gang of 14. He has been stopping Bush at just about every level other than the war, and going against conservatives for years and years. Even
and one issue doesn't make an olive branch to someone like you,
right,
who you have other options in the primary, so why go to McCain when you have Romney and you have other people in there? Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you, Lance, are you waiting for Fred Thompson to get into this race?
Not necessarily. I don't, you know, there's really nobody that I really think is a star out there that has gotten in it. Can't think of anybody.
And could I talk about that for just a moment?
Yes,
because
please.
I think that is one of the big untold stories in this primary. Some of it is certainly that on the Democratic side, you have this troika of Clinton, Obama, and Edwards that are getting a lot of media attention. But Republican primary voters are not paying attention to that. And Republican primary voters right now have a lot of anxiety because there is this huge charisma gap among the Republican field. And I think that's why Thompson people, most Republicans are really holding out hope for Thompson. Because even someone like, and Lance, let me guess, are you leaning more towards Romney right now?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but is he at least sort of on your radar screen? Because I think
my case with Romney is that if he was the nominee, I would vote for him. But you know, that's how it is with just about every single one of them. If they're the nominee, I'll vote for him over the Democrat. But I mean, if you know, here in Illinois, we have a late primary anyway, so.
Yeah. And all those candidates have a little bit of the moderate in conservative clothing or the flip-flop allegation.
The rhino.
They? Yeah.
And that's led to a lot of anxiety and a lot of consternation, a lot of confusion among Republican primary voters, because if you look at it back in 99, it was already sussing out to Bush versus McCain. Mm-hmm. You had something that was fairly easy for people to parse through, 2 to 4 candidates. People can start making up their minds. But when you have a wide open field of 8 or 9 people, it gets really confusing, and it leads people to sort of postpone their information search and their decision-making about it. So there's just this great amount of uncertainty in Republican circles right now. And they sort of see Thompson, if you buy the old theory from literature, it's like deus ex machina. He's going to come in, and he's going to make everything right. But in the meantime, there's no one that is really rallying Republican troops. You can see it in the fundraising where, you know, Clinton is outstretched Romney, the best Republican fundraiser, by a factor of almost 3 just in the last quarter. So, you know, Republicans are really out there clamoring for someone to enter, and McCain is just another one of those disposable candidates in a really, really thick field.
Scott in Green Bay is with us now, thanks to Lance. Go ahead, Scott, you're on the air.
Good morning. I guess I'm a bit of a cynic when it comes to this topic, and I'll explain why. I think part of the reason McCain isn't doing so well is he isn't getting the same press coverage that he did in 99.
Mm-hmm.
He was the anti-establishment candidate. A perfect example of this is I think the press has a lot to do with it. If you look at the Democratic field, Clinton, Obama, and Edwards, they get great, great press, and they're very inexperienced candidates when you look at it. You know, 2 one-term senators, or 3, actually. And McCain got this great, great press because he was really bashing on Republicans, his own party. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just kind of looked and did a montage of every mainstream reporter, Maverick John McCain, John McCain the Maverick, I mean, Chris Matthews drooled over the guy, and he won't even put him on anymore. He really won't even put him on because he was constantly beating up on his own party. And the press just loved that. And he got phenomenal press coverage. He doesn't get that this year. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the positive attention he got, like the positive attention that the Democratic candidates are getting, has really a lot to do with why John McCain isn't doing as well this year as he was doing in 99.
Do you agree, Professor Rackley?
Well, only in part. You sort of cast this as though it's the press's fault, and I'm not going to go with you that way. What I am going to say is that McCain had a better sense of what made a good quote, what would get you in newspapers A1 above the fold, what would get you a lead story in a radio news package, because he was taking shots. Certainly at his own party. That's newsworthy. That's going to make a really good lead for someone to put into a story. So when you try to go mainstream, when you try to be the establishment candidate, now you've got to tone the rhetoric down. Now you have to toe the party line a bit more. And so the quotes that he gives, the stories that he's telling, are not as compelling. They're not as unique. Now, he's not differentiating himself from Romney. He's not differentiating himself from Giuliani, where he was doing that in 1999. So the novelty factor is what's really gone away. So is it the press's fault? No, it's McCain's, if you would say fault. It was McCain's decision to try a different strategy, and it's just backfired on him.
Yeah, he did try to get some buzz by doing things like announcing on David Letterman. That's a little different, isn't it?
Well, it's becoming more and more commonplace, quite honestly. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger announcing on Jay Leno, as nightly news and other traditional news sources are losing their viewership, people are getting an increasing amount of their political news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and they're getting them from these nightly chat shows like David Letterman. So you've got to go where the voters are. That's actually a smart decision for him. He's not going to get hard questions from Letterman, so he's not going to be challenged on it. He can control his own message, and he gets a lot of viewership. So it's still fairly new, but it's becoming a very commonplace practice among candidates.
Yeah. One area where I think John McCain does differ from President Bush and his other Republican primary challengers, especially Mitt Romney, is that he says he would shut down Gitmo day one, and Romney said that he thought it should double in size. Isn't that true? That is an area where he might depart from his party.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's just part of that that interesting contradiction in McCain, where there's some maverick to him and then there's some mainstream to him. My personal civil libertarian ideals, I appreciate that. What he's saying about Gitmo certainly does make him stand out. But not all issues are created equal. And there's, I think that people have opinions about Gitmo, but it really doesn't drive their preferences for candidates and so on. I don't get the feeling that there's a lot of intensity among the American people really sown throughout. There are small pockets of great intensity, both in favor of and against Guantanamo Bay and what they're doing there, but it's really not something that's going to, as consultants say, make the needle move. It's not going to change support from one candidate to another.
Thanks, Scott, for the call. Mark in Menominee Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to disagree with your guest. I thought I heard him say that it was McCain's stance on the war in Iraq and immigration that killed him, because he's on the wrong side of both issues. I would echo Lance. First of all, immigration had nothing to do with why McCain's campaign is disintegrating. He could have come out against that immigration bill, and conservatives still would not have wanted to have anything to do with him. John McCain's campaign was dead before it started. He consistently alienated conservatives with the Gang of 14, being against the Bush tax cut, and so on. Go on down the line.
Finance reform that has really hurt Republican candidates across the board.
Well, and conservatives always believed, forget the money, they always believed that was an infringement of First Amendment rights.
So, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so John McCain was dead. I mean, he was a figment of the media's imagination, which is the other problem that he had, because when you're popular with the mainstream liberal media, conservatives are not going to want to have anything to do with you. And, you know, it's not like the patient came to the hospital and then died. He was dead on arrival. That campaign was dead before it started.
Was it really dead before it started, Professor Rock?
I can't go that far with you. In the opening segment, I only got through one of the reasons, and those were those issue positions, that McCain was in trouble. Now, when the thing does completely go away, it will be a death by a thousand cuts. And so does the stuff that, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, but this gentleman who called in, Mark. Mark, the things that you're talking about definitely played into it, as well as the things that we've already talked about and a number of other factors involved that we haven't even gotten to. So, yeah, I go back to that idea of a death by a thousand cuts for the McCain campaign. But, yeah, when you're a maverick and when you anger the base, the people who are going to be voting in a primary election in a previous election, they're going to be skeptical of you, and it's going to be very, very hard to win them over. And when you try using the rhetoric of the more conservative part of the Republican Party, you're going to look like an opportunist and not someone who has had a sincere conversion. So, you know, conservatives had a right to look at McCain somewhat askance. This was not someone who would really carry the banner of the conservative wing of the Republican Party with passion and verve in the way that someone like George W. Bush has.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some more of those thousand cuts. We touched on the campaign finance reform. Of course, McCain-Feingold partnered with our Senator Feingold here in Wisconsin.
Why, absolutely.
Why did that hurt him?
Well, it hurts him for another reason, and maybe I should just go ahead and I have to own up to a little bit of my own bias. Mm-hmm. My research is in campaign finance, especially at the congressional level, and all of the arguments that are usually promoted for passing campaign finance reform, getting money out of politics, limiting the influence of political action committees, interests, and corporations, and so on, never effective. There's never been a campaign finance reform at any level that I've been able to find that has actually satisfied those goals. And then you piggyback it with the fact that people need to see what candidates are saying, so they need to pay for advertising, they need to engage in outreach, and that costs money, and that this makes them engage in stranger and more Byzantine forms of fundraising is really, really destructive to American politics. They do undermine it. So I will own some of my own bias here, just so that just for the interest of public consumption, I suppose. I think that he's dead wrong on campaign finance. But then when you look back in time, and he was part of the Keating Five savings and loan scandal folks in the 80s, and he's become a crusader ever since then, sort of reinforcing the idea that here's someone who's not exactly genuine about some of his issue positions. It's certainly a First Amendment violation. You're limiting the ability of people to speak their minds and to produce a message for people that will hopefully encourage them to vote for them. In fact, some of the reforms that McCain has engaged in, like 527s, have increased the quantity and the negativity of the negative ads that most Americans say we really, really don't like. So there's been some pretty ugly after effects of some of the campaign finance stuff that McCain has supported, and that puts him on the wrong side of Republicans, both from a First Amendment standpoint and then also from a practical standpoint. Because if you look at post-McCain-Feingold passage, Republicans who used to have a huge money advantage over Democrats have seen a lot of that erode to the point where there's parity, and now we're seeing Democrats actually having a fundraising advantage over Republicans for the National Party Congressional Committee's June 30th. Reports that came out. So that's hurting Republicans, and that's another reason why a lot of mainstream Republicans say, man, John McCain is not our guy. Look what his piece of legislation is doing to our candidates.
Yeah, and this was the second conservative voter who said that, who can't forgive McCain for being a member of the Gang of 14. What's this all about?
The Gang of 14 is, and I'm trusting my own memory here, mm-hmm. which is sometimes an unfortunate mm-hmm. proposition. I believe the Gang of 14 was the 14 Republican senators who voted against removal of President Clinton during his impeachment. I could be wrong on that, but based on the quality of your callers, if I'm wrong on that, someone's going to catch me, and I invite them to.
Mark, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah. The Gang of 14 were the 14 senators who made the pact regarding judicial nominees.
That was it.
Yeah.
That irritated conservatives to no end, because he should have been on board with either changing the filibuster rule or doing something to get these nominees through. So that's what irritated conservatives. I agree with you. It was a death by a thousand cuts with mm-hmm. John McCain. But my point is that the last cut and the death came before the campaign even started. I mean, mm-hmm. if you over the last 6 years had gone to any get-together, a school event, a Christmas party, a barbecue, and you listen to conservatives talk to each other, they'd roll their eyes and scoff at the name, at the mention of the name John McCain. The thousand cuts happened before his campaign even started.
Well, how come he was such a contender, though, in 2000, Mark?
Because he hadn't irritated people as much then. But I'll tell you something. No, I mean, that's really true, and I'll tell you something. If he thought he had trouble with the South Carolina primary in 2000, they're going to be waiting for him this time with pickaxes and shovels. I mean, he's going to go down in South Carolina so hard it won't even be funny.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The southern base of the GOP is definitely not McCain territory.
Yeah, well, let's see if other listeners have questions about or comments about John McCain's presidential campaign. Some say it's in free fall, and John McCain is saying that he's going to move on despite the departure of a number of key staffers and a lack of fundraising and falling out of the top tier in the polls. He says he will continue, but our guest says he might be whistling past the graveyard. 1-800-642-1234. Why is John McCain's campaign on its deathbed? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, the National Intelligence Estimate predicts that Al-Qaeda will step up efforts to place operatives in the U.S. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guest will discuss the report and also talk about last night's Iraq war debate in the U.S. Senate. That's coming up in our next hour. We are talking about John McCain and John McCain's presidential campaign. Why is the campaign in trouble? Here's John McCain last week getting press attention that maybe he didn't want.
My campaign is fine. I'm happy with the way it is. We've had to make adjustments. We've had ups and downs. So we will continue to campaign the way I do best, which is not with money, but with town hall meetings and with face-to-face encounters with the voters. And I'm confident we will do very well.
So, Chap Rackaway, will he do very well campaigning that way?
Not in the least. Mm. That is something that you do town hall meetings in previous cycles. Even if you did it in 2004, though 2000 is the better year to say that. If he does it in 2000, it's okay. The problem is that we've had front loading gone wild over the last couple of years, and we're seeing this incredibly compacted primary schedule, which just amplifies the importance of money to a campaign. So he can't just do town hall meetings. There's not enough time for him to hit Iowa and New Hampshire and smother them enough with a face-to-face strategy and still carry on. And it certainly sets him up poorly for the later run, because that South Carolina to Nevada stretch of primaries between the 25th of January and the 15th of February is going to be brutal. And there's going to be absolutely no way that you can contest a campaign unless you have the money to run a lot of TV and a lot of web video and pay a lot of people to go organize for you. So when Jesse Unruh, who is the California Assembly Speaker, said money was the mother's milk of politics, never was he more prescient than he was about 2008. Money is going to be absolutely vital.
Yeah. Next we go to Kevin in Milwaukee. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Kevin.
I recently read that campaign contributions from military personnel, when it comes to those contributions, Ron Paul has actually bested Senator McCain by about 12%. I think Ron Paul, the statistic I read at any rate, said Ron Paul had about 53% of those contributions, and McCain was down at about, in second place, at about 35%. And I wanted to ask if that actually shows that, that McCain's base might actually be eroding, and we might not be seeing McCain being down to just his political base, or if, as I would hope, that people in America are actually waking up to Ron Paul at this point. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Ron Paul is a fascinating, fascinating fellow, earned the reputation and the nickname Dr. No for voting against a lot of legislation as a congressman. And I believe he was a candidate for the Libertarian nomination for presidency. He might have even been the Libertarian nominee in 1980. And he and Mike Gravel on the Democratic side have taken the maverick role on. So, yeah, Paul is feeling some of that novelty. And if you want a maverick, then Paul is certainly a guy for you. But the maverick contingent, as John McCain showed us in 2000, is not that huge in a primary. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's support is sort of nibbling at a very small cookie, which is McCain's remaining support. So there's a little bit of erosion on McCain's part, but not so much. Paul is certainly feeling his stride right now. He's got a little bit of an attention bubble. No big shot for him. He probably would never even be seriously considered as a vice presidential nominee, but people like that can be really good for getting certain items on the agenda. Paul's been very strong against the war, getting out, and so on. If he had a couple of domestic ideas, he might even, or some domestic ideas that would carry traction, he might be able to get some of those on the agenda of the eventual nominee. Paul is certainly an interesting guy, and he brings a lot to the Republican field.
Do you know if it's true what the statistic that Kevin read, which might have been from Ron Paul's campaign literature?
Well, I was going to say, I certainly hadn't seen that. So
he said that more military people were donating to Ron Paul's campaign.
Yeah. I had not heard about that before, so I've definitely got to dig a little bit after we get off the air and see if I can if I can find that citation. But there is a strong libertarian streak among active military members, so it certainly wouldn't surprise me to find out that that's absolutely the case.
Thank you, Kevin. Ray in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Go ahead.
My comment is regarding when John McCain went on The Daily Show a few times in the last month, and I think pretty much alienated himself from any sort of young base. He went on before he was going to give a speech at one of Falwell's universities or something like that, and you know, as Time magazine put it, you know, he sheepishly stated that you know he was going to that conservative base and not really being himself. And for me, as a young person, that was really his beginning of the end for him, just in any sort of potential support that I could have given him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So he was admitting that he wasn't being genuine.
Right. At least that's the way it seemed to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this is the essential strategic failure of the McCain campaign, is that you cannot be the maverick who would most likely have better appeal with younger voters. And you also, while at the same time being the mainstream who has a lot of traction with the conservative wing of the party, the Republicans right now are feeling the effects of being a very, very strong party, and they have two well-defined factions that do not reconcile their preferences very well. So they have these fights, and anyone who wants to be the Republican nominee has to find this weird way of tap dancing between the two different elements of the party. That's incredibly hard to do. And so while we're being, you know, critical of McCain and his strategic mishaps, even the best strategies can end up backfiring because you have a really, really tough field to get through.
We're talking with Chap Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays State University in Hays, Kansas, talking with us about John McCain's presidential campaign and wondering why the campaign appears to be in free fall. Once considered a front runner, right now he is trailing in the polls, trailing in fundraising. His staff is departing, lots of departures over the past weekend, and pundits are predicting that the campaign is on its deathbed. McCain himself says he's not giving up. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Especially interested in hearing from you if you are a supporter of John McCain, or maybe you were a one-time supporter and gave that up for one reason or another, or maybe you're like some of our callers this hour who were never McCain supporters and say that conservatives would never support McCain. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Any caller question, welcome. Stephen Middleton is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I knew Chap back when he lived in Missouri, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Steve?
Yep.
Hey, it's your boyhood friends or something?
I used to play poker with one of your callers. This is amazing.
All right. Well, happy to reunite you over the radio.
Okay. Well, I had a question. Chap had mentioned money, and one of the things I've noticed, he mentioned this, that the Democratic frontrunners now seem to be so far ahead of a lot of the Republican candidates, and that is an issue for all of the Republican candidates right now.
Well, there's a big, big pool of money in Republican circles, and what it's doing is it's waiting. They're waiting for Newt Gingrich, and they're waiting for Fred Thompson. You will see, let's say that Fred Thompson enters the race today. I'm quite confident that by the next reporting cycle, Thompson's hitting 50, 60 million. He is catching up to any of the Democrats. And the other part of that is, if you look at it from the Democratic side, they need to raise this money. You have this neck and neck race between Clinton and Obama. They're trying to separate from each other, and they just cannot do it. So they're hiring more fundraisers. They're getting more sophisticated in their web videos. They're being more aggressive in hiring field operatives. So yeah, it just becomes this chase to the top on who can raise and spend more money, whereas the Republicans don't have that same kind of dynamic driving the money up. And the other side of that is that because the fight is so tough between Clinton and Obama, and I do, even though he's fallen back, I do include Edwards in there because Edwards is taking a little bit of a different strategy, and the primary calendar really favors him, so he doesn't need to raise as much money as Clinton and Obama do. But the three of them will spend all of that money, so they won't have a big cash advantage going into the general election. They can't roll their primary money over into the general election that would give them some advantage over the Republicans. Once the two nominees suss out, then it will pretty much be an even track, I believe.
Thanks, Steve. Sean in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Sean.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to say McCain, I don't think since 2000 has been a straight talker. I know that's how he got sold back then. Perhaps he was. But I think there was a defining moment in 2004 when he campaigned for Bush. And I remember Bush rubbing his head his little lap dog. And it came back to bite him, and it's like too bad he sold his soul. But he did, and he's done. So hasta la vista, McCain.
Well, and that just reinforces that same kind of approach that we've been talking about, that you can't be in both camps at once. You can't be the maverick and then cozy up to the main line person. McCain in 2004 did get aggressive about campaigning for Bush and supporting him, and was counting, I believe, on the Bush campaign sort of putting their seal of approval, or the Bush administration putting their seal on McCain and saying, here's the heir apparent, here's the next guy, everybody rally behind him so he doesn't have this primary fight. And the Bush camp decided, no, we're just going to stay out of this completely. So McCain probably feels as though he got double-crossed one more time.
Next, we go to Ed in Boston. Good morning.
Good morning. My comment is, I think that Senator McCain, like many other people in the Senate and Congress today, underestimate the intelligence of the American voter, whether they're Democrat or Republican. And to verify my point, the immigration issue that Senator McCain joined with Senator Kennedy on totally ignored the polls. You know, the polls were 80% of the American people were against the immigration, and they just kept on pushing and pushing, and they gave the attitude to the American voter that, hey, we're smarter than you are, and what you elected us to do what's right, and we don't have to listen to you. And I think that was one of the big straws that broke the back in the McCain candidacy. Everything just seemed to, you know, like they kicked a stool out from underneath him when this happened.
Yeah, that might have been cut number 1,000, Professor Rackaway.
Just about. I don't remember seeing any legitimate poll that had such a mandate as 80% of the American people in favor or opposed to any particular position. But the caller's point is still really important, in that immigration was an issue that we may end up recalling it as sort of the new third rail, the new issue that no one wants to touch because it is so divisive. It even splits the individual parties in two. There's no clear Republican message on immigration, like there's no clear Democratic message mm-hmm. on immigration. Everyone is still sensing out their own approaches to it. So it certainly hurt McCain. It was one of many cuts, but it certainly was not the prevailing one.
Yeah. So you say if Fred Thompson enters this race, it's over for McCain.
I think it's a done deal if Fred Thompson enters the race. He is the only person who has broad support among all segments of the Republican Party, absolutely. And that's why I think there's sort of this waiting for Godot feel among the Republicans is, what's Fred Thompson going to do? If he comes in, most of the support goes to him. You'll see him probably hit in the 30s fairly quickly. If he decides not to run, then you're going to have a lot of panicked Republicans wondering, oh gosh, I've got to make up my mind between these folks. And mm-hmm. and there's really a big charisma gap there. You're going to find a lot of people who say, I'll pick somebody in the primary and I'll get behind him in the general. But that kind of lukewarm support does not make for a real strong candidacy for anyone.
Yeah, odds are Fred Thompson's going to enter this race.
I believe so. All signs point to it. And he's just been waiting to see how the tease of his potential entry has been taken, and it's been taken with great enthusiasm. He'll become the mainstream candidate, but he's mm-hmm. enough of a straight talker that the younger, more moderate wing of the party can get behind him as well. He really does have good support across the board in Republican circles, and I don't think there's any other candidate there who can say that.
Well, it's been an interesting hour, Professor Rackaway. I hope we can talk to you again sometime.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Chap Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays State University in Hays, Kansas. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.